time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
We're all surviving. All the country boys and country gals here on the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. I am James Kelso, your host up here in North Dakota, the least visited state, as I've said, in America, but we may be getting a very important visit next week. I'll get to that in a moment. Paul Fromm with us in Canada. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
And George out there in the once great state of Maryland.
Yeah, it's now the People's Republic of Maryland, Jay.
Visit to which I alluded a moment ago is Donald J. Trump may, it looks like he will, visit North Dakota next week. And I am going to contrive some way to be there. He's coming to Bismarck, which is our state capital. It's 263 miles from where I'm sitting here in our studio in North Dakota. So it's a 3-hour and 48-minute drive. I would love to take the children. Oh, my gosh, if I can, I'll try to get there myself. If I could get, you know, it's just something, Paul and George, for the kids. You know, imagine, you know, when you grow up a little older and Donald Trump has made all this history, and you as a youngster and then as a teenager, you're reading about this history. What if you were there? What if you got to, you know, call out to or wave to or even shake hands with Donald Trump? Wow. So I don't know. I'll see if I can maybe get the kids there. But it'll really be something if I can get to a Trump rally. And we are, you know, far out in the weeds here in North Dakota. So it's now one reason he may be coming to North Dakota is that of all states in America, we are the least visited state. We're also the biggest, almost the biggest pro-Trump state in terms of our percentage of our support for Donald Trump. We're neck and neck with West Virginia. West Virginia is one percentage point ahead of us at 60%. We're at 59% support for Donald Trump, according to the skewed and loaded polls. So that may be one reason he's coming up here to North Dakota, is he knows he is going to get one raucous pro-Trump audience here in North Dakota. So anyway, that's a piece of news there. Let's endeavor to cover some of what has happened in the last 24 hours in the world of the Trump phenomenon and invite you to submit your observations at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And I especially love it when people sense that I, Paul, or George, I have missed something. And it's an important story. It's a hot story, a current story. And that's really what we endeavor to do. We can't do everything on this short radio show. So we're not like a 3-hour show that could maybe get into some of your favorite subjects or, you know, do a retrospective on history. It's enough just to keep up with the Trump train. So that's what we endeavor to do. Let's see here. Some of the stories we might talk about tonight. And I'm going to Breitbart because now that we know that the second most powerful man in the universe, Steve Bannon, is personally shaping these stories. These stories are custom made for us. Here's his lead story. 45,000 illegals using the DACA backdoor to get green cards. That's a hot one. Another story. Fewest monthly refugee arrivals in America in August since 2002. 900
more than North Canada.
Well, our sincere apologies, Paul. That is right. We just rerouted them to Canada. We 900. No, I don't know. Some folks.
They didn't really reroute. They got ones that are already in the United States. Didn't think they might get refugee status because they don't deserve it, and they've skedaddled up to Canada because of loopholes in our law. But no, it's not your fault.
Exactly.
You're doing right.
Exactly. Now, any that come through my yard, I'm up here on the Canadian border, Paul. Any that come through my backyard, hop my fence, I will apprehend.
Good. or give them directions to Canada by way of Mexico.
So I did actually put up a little bit of extra fencing today, just to give my kids complete privacy. Here we have, here's this story. 910 refugees were resettled in the United States during the month of August. Now, that's pretty encouraging. Only 910, the lowest monthly total since October of 2002. Let's see, 910. Okay, and this is a, let's see, let me go back, give you some other numbers here. The only 24% of those 910 were Muslims. Significantly less than the 46% who were Muslims in the previous 7 months. So total number going way down, percentage Muslim going cut in half. I like this. And that's reflective of the fact that the Muslim immigration into the United States is particularly catastrophic for any kind of a future for America. And the same applies to Canada or any other European nation. It's simply a completely incompatible population it just doesn't work. Let's see here. Let's see anything else in this article. Of those 910, only 184 came from the six countries temporarily banned by President Obama's Executive Order 13780. Very nice. And boy, there's lots of see. This is a typical Breitbart article. Lots of facts. What the New York Times used to do about 100 years ago. And no longer does. You got lots of facts here. Let's see. We had this more good news. We had only 53 refugees from Somalia. That's a good one.
It was better when that number was zero, but we'll take it.
Yes. Under the Refugee Act of 1980, the president is empowered to make a presidential determination of the ceiling number of refugees to be resettled in the United States in September for the following fiscal year that begins the next month in October. So expect a new presidential determination in September. Maybe we'll get it when Donald Trump visits Bismarck here in September next week. Let's see here. The president can make a ceiling determination, but it is Congress who appropriates the funds to resettle refugees. Let's see here. Well, this is so full of facts. And I'm just skipping right through. There's just a ton of facts in that article. All right, so we throw that one into the mix. Here's a new one. Chris Kobach, very good. Kansas Secretary of State, I believe. Or he might be the Attorney General of Kansas. Let me just look it up here. Far-left journalists, activists, and entertainers expressed rage and disbelief Friday as a local report confirmed that Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach is a paid columnist for Breitbart News. Nice. And folks, Chris Kobach is one of the best that we've got. The Kansas City Star tried to make Kobach disavow Breitbart, but instead, he denounced the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Good.
And he says, Kobach, a candidate for Kansas governor who was running on a platform of combating illegal immigration, published his first article for Breitbart.com in June, a piece that tied refugees to terrorism. He has published six more pieces since then, and more are on the horizon. Oh, this is all very good. All right, next piece of encouraging news. The Ship of Fools 4, another green Arctic expedition scuppered by ice. A sailing expedition to the North Pole to raise awareness of global warming has been forced to turn back 590 nautical miles short of its destination after the yachts found their passage blocked by large quantities of an unexpected frozen white substance. A meeting of the four skippers was held, and it was agreed further northward progress would increase considerably the risks to the expedition with very limited scientific reward. The decision to head south back to an area of less concentrated sea ice was made. and then Breitbart writes, as usual on these occasions, the expedition leaders are covering their embarrassment by billing their failure as a great success. Blah, blah, blah. And and then they recount Ship of Fools 3, Ship of Fools 2, and Ship of Fools 1, which was a December 2013 expedition to Antarctica. That had to be called off after becoming stuck in ice. Also, they got stuck in ice. And earlier this summer, Ship of Fools 3, a Canadian research expedition, had to be canceled because, you guessed it, of unprecedented summer sea ice. Now, of course, they don't actually name their ships Ship of Fools 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're applying that name to them. Breitbart is. And then Breitbart says, look at this great writing, Paul. Why are these hapless fools such suckers for punishment? And notice the gloves are off at Breitbart. There's no pretense here of journalistic neutrality. Breitbart is correctly recognizing that in the world of the press today, ain't no such thing as neutrality. In existence. You've got to take sides, and they're taking their side. The short answer, because that's where the money is. And then they go into great detail here, charts, graphs. This is wonderful. Whoever wrote this, Dellingpole is the writer at Breitbart who wrote this. Chart, graph after graph. This is a whole education on the global warming fraud. He says, get this, the way he ends the article. This is too good. It's good news for us, though, me especially. I don't even have to go looking for stories like journalists used to have to do in the old days. They just sail right past my nose like this latest dumbass Arctic failure expedition just did. This is the way news ought to be reported. I open us all a big bag of popcorn and write it up for Breitbart for our amusement and delectation. And it's not even as though I'm going to get any competition. About the only people covering this stuff are skeptical bloggers. Most of the mainstream media are looking away, pretending it's not happening because it just doesn't suit their alarmist narrative. That's the kind of language. And folks, he's got the research. He's on it. He's going to be covering this story. This is what's new, Paul and George. Breitbart has specific reporters who are handling specific bureaus and specific stories. So there's continuity. You can keep track of things. Dellingpole will report the next episode, Ship of Fools 5. He will surely cover. And so now this is this is the opposition that the controlled media can't handle. They can't take this. So all we got to do is get people reading this stuff, and these guys are toast. Here's another nice headline. You'll read it at Breitbart, nowhere else. Kid Rock, remember, he's running for office now, fires back after a complaint of possible campaign violations. Go F yourselves, he says.
Very eloquent.
Kid Rock fired back at the media and left-leaning watchdog group Common Cause on Friday, today, over accusations that he is violating federal election law by failing to register as a candidate for the U.S. Senate and complying with campaign contribution rules. He says, I am starting to see reports from the misinformed press and the fake news on how I am in violation of breaking campaign law, the veteran rocker wrote in a blog post on his website. Number one, I have still not officially announced my candidacy, he wrote, adding, number two, see number one and go F yourselves.
Wow. That makes me games.
Yeah. Now, Kid Rock's birth name is Robert Ritchie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E. And I sure hope he does run for Senate. There we go. Very good. Next story. I didn't look at this one at all, but it looks good. The Cleveland police and EMTs boycott the season opening flag ceremonies after the Browns, I take it that to be the Cleveland Browns, kneel during the national anthem. Cleveland police and emergency medical technicians and other first responders are refusing to take the field to hold a giant U.S. flag after the Cleveland Browns took a knee during a recent preseason game, according to Fox 8 in Cleveland. As the Browns prepared to meet the New York Giants on Monday, August 21st, nearly a dozen members of the Browns took a knee during the playing of the national anthem at Cleveland's First Energy Stadium. This act enraged many local fans, including a Cleveland Veterans of Foreign Wars post, which announced a boycott of Browns games. This is what you've been asking for, George, in response to the anthem protest.
All I have been asking for, James, you know, the National Football League was reasonably a glorious thing in the 60s and 70s. And somewhere, maybe it was in the 80s or 90s, you know, they went off the deep end, and it's open season on white men. They've been totally excluded from the game. And now we have this. I mean, it's just openly, we hate white America, every single team, all 30 whatever of them. It would really be a good thing for Patriot America to stick it to the National Football League.
Yeah.
That is a communist organization.
Well, and here they're doing it. Here they're doing it. Listen to this. Police union president Steve Loomis agreed that the team's protest was too much to take. And remember, folks, they're not protesting the national anthem. You know, they don't even know the national anthem. They couldn't sing it if their life depended on it. What they're protesting is white America. That's what they're protesting. And the national anthem, snubbing the national anthem, disrespecting it, is a way of snubbing us, telling us they hate us. He says, I'm here at a national police convention, and as soon as they hear that I'm from Cleveland, the first question is, what about those stinking Browns? Loomis said. So if the ownership of the Browns and the league are going to allow that type of stuff to happen and then come to us and say, we want you to help us with a flag, we're not gonna. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back, folks. And let's see. We're taking your phone calls. Let me make sure you've got the phone number, 800-313-9443. And let me just check the board to see if there are any calls. No, no calls. So your chance to get in. The more interesting news items here. The
An interesting item about the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yes.
And the SPLC, it admits they conspired with Act for America against some of the people that were protesting in Charlottesville. Their hands are not clean. These people have defamed patriots for 30 years. And they've done an awful lot of harm to a lot of people's lives. So I hope that Jeff Sessions will announce that he will be ignoring anything put forward by the Southern Poverty Law Center or some of our friends like calling the poverty pimps.
Yes. Yes, it's not Southern. It has nothing to do with poverty. They break the law constantly. I guess they are a center. And that's about it. They should just call themselves a center. Here's an announcement from the latest on this idiot Robert Mueller. He is really, really reaching, scrambling, trying to find something. Here's the latest story. Now, who knows whether this is a leak If it's a trial balloon story, who knows? Mueller examining Donald Trump's draft letter firing FBI Director Comey. So now we're not looking at the actual letter he sent to Comey. We're going to look at a draft of the letter now. Let's see. How about dream analysis? How about we can analyze dreams, that maybe Donald had a dream, and we could analyze that. Who knows? Bob Mueller, what an idiot. Here's an important story. This is from I didn't realize that Russia has a news site. Just as we have whitehouse.gov, Donald Trump announcing things like his trip to North Dakota, we have President of Russia with the Russian double eagle here, very, very presidential looking. And here is his article, his announcement today. This is concerning BRICS. And BRICS is what? Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This is an alliance of those five nations for specific ends. Vladimir Putin's article, BRICS Toward New Horizons of Strategic Partnership, published ahead of the BRICS summit, published today. The summit will be held in, however you pronounce it, XIA, Xiamen, China, on September 4th and 5th. And Putin says, I consider it, this BRICS summit, the ninth, to be important to present Russia's approaches to cooperation within the framework of this all. This is just, of course, this is just, let me get to something substantive. Appreciation, who cares about appreciation? Yes, okay. We appreciate everybody, yes. every politician starts that way. But he gets to an important point here later. He says, he talks about North Korea. Let me see where it is. And he says, oh, I hope this is not long. Oh, my goodness. But he, according to the headline here, he is concerned that there is a big conflict. Here it is. I have to say a few words about the situation on the Korean Peninsula, where tensions have grown recently and the situation is balancing on the brink of a large-scale conflict. There's his analysis. And, of course, his analysis is a very important one. Russia has a real inside track on what's going on there. Russia believes that the policy of putting pressure on Pyongyang to stop its nuclear missile program is misguided and futile. The region's problems should only be settled through a direct dialogue of all the parties concerned without any preconditions. Well, I'm going to disagree with Vladimir Putin on that right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love.
We're back, folks.
Someone bright enough to see.
Bright enough to see. Folks like you.
What I hate is what I hate.
We're back. Here's a great story illustrating my point about Breitbart very, very well. Let me find the story. This is exactly the kind of thing that we all need. We're busy. We don't have time. We can't sit in front of TV sets and try to filter through the mush and the garbage that the control media have been showering us with. This is what Breitbart does. Here's a very short article. It's news, but it's covered with a real point of view. And no mincing words. John Carney, remember that name, another Breitbart writer, and he's getting his direction from Steve Bannon. Here's this very short article. I can read the whole thing. Gary Cohn, he's one of our favorite guys, isn't he? Gary Cohn, C-O-H-N, won't say if Trump calls him a globalist. Nice headline. I like it. Gary Cohn was on CNBC Friday morning, this morning. We get the news promptly, right away at Breitbart. Friday morning to discuss the August jobs numbers. During the interview, Gary Cohn dodged the question of whether Trump calls him a globalist. I love this. Is it true that the president calls you a globalist and is demanding tariffs? CNBC's Sarah Eisen asked. Then here's Gary Cohn's answer. Very evasive. Quote, look, the president and I have very open and robust discussion on trade. Didn't answer the question, did he? On the economy, on economic growth, on job, Cohn said. We have a very good relationship. He's not answering the question, is he? And we're always talking about ways to grow the U.S. economy and put workers back to work and increase wages. That's his mission and my mission. Let's see. I think, why didn't Cohn add that he is all for motherhood? He likes apple pie. He ties his shoes. Well, why didn't he add something else significant like that? So he was asked by CNBC, I love this, does President Trump call you a globalist? Okay. Oh, no, wait. I didn't finish the article. Here, in just three sentences, here's what the Breitbart writer does. Translation, Trump does call him a globalist. And more importantly, Cohn is not a supporter of trade tariffs. If he were, it would have been very easy for him to have endorsed tariffs right then and right there. Instead, he bragged about having a very good relationship with the president. Now, folks, there it is. Perfect example. Now, who's sitting at the desk right next to this writer, or who's on the intercom just down the hall from this writer? Steve Bannon. And who knows Gary Cohn very well? Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon knows Gary Cohn from Goldman Sachs. Steve Bannon was, in an earlier incarnation, at Goldman Sachs. Made a lot of money there. Very, very successful. Gary Cohn, the number two at Goldman Sachs. Steve Bannon knows him very well. And so when this story says Trump is calling you, when this writer says, translation, Trump does call him a globalist, guess who confirmed that on the intercom? Steve Bannon. Because Steve Bannon has heard it with his own ears. So there you go, folks. That's the news reporting that we have been needing. And that they're pounding on Gary Cohn. Every day they're after Cohn. Every day they're after Paul Ryan. Every day they're after Mitch McConnell. Every day they're after H.R. McMaster. And they don't let up.
Very good and long overdue. You know, there's the item, I think it was Rhonda the other night said that Donald Trump has offered $1 million of his own money to help in the disaster in Houston after the hurricane.
Yes, let me get that story.
I said at the time, well, I hope Donald Trump will challenge these fat cat Clintons to match up $1 million each for this. And here's another group that I think ought to be challenged. And this is the people we were talking about just a few minutes ago, the poverty pimps, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Here's a really interesting story sent to me by a friend in New Orleans. The Southern Poverty Law Center transfers millions in cash to offshore entities. Left-wing profit pays a lucrative six-figure salaries to its top management. That's the SPLC. And this is an Alabama-based group, of course. It's famous for designating various people, groups, and so on as hate groups. Its records, and these all have to be filed. It pays lucrative six-figure salaries to its top directors and key employees while spending little on legal services despite its stated intent of fighting hate and bigotry. The Southern Poverty Law Center, of course, puts out a map to scare its potential donors with the various so-called hate groups around North America. The SPLC has turned into a fundraising powerhouse, and it recorded, according to government documents, more than $50 million in contributions and $328 million in assets. And that was on its 2015 form, Form 990. And yeah, that's available. It's available to anybody who wants to see it. And its business income tax return from 2015 shows that they have financial interests in the Cayman Islands, the British Virgin Islands, and in Bermuda. And no information is available beyond the acknowledgement of the interests at the bottom of the form. However, Washington Free Beacon discovered the forms from 2014, and they shed light on the SPLC further. Form 8865, it discloses that it has transferred hundreds of thousands of dollars to an account located in the Virgin Islands. So I'm hoping that Secretary of Justice Sessions will open an independent investigation of these people. Well, what is a supposed nonprofit doing, transferring money to the Caymans and the British Virgin Islands? Gangster? Oh well, maybe ask the questions to answer it. I think that ought to be looked at further, and that's all out of government documents.
Yes, absolutely. Liberalism, hypocrisy is thy middle name. They are nothing if not hypocrites. They do tax dodges like you wouldn't believe, offshore money like you wouldn't believe. Here's the headline on Donald Trump. President Trump will personally contribute $1 million toward relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey in Texas. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, "I'm happy to tell you he would like to join in the efforts, and he is. He also donated part of his salary to the National Park Service. He donated another part of his salary to the Education Department, and the." So there you go. Very good. And the way Newsweek, which is owned by the Washington Post, which is, let me try to remember, is it Bezos that owns the Post? I think so. Jeff Bezos, which means he also owns Newsweek. The way Newsweek reports it is Trump pledges $1 million, the same amount he called a small loan from his father. In other words, the headline, they don't report, he's donating $1 million. It's a lot of money. But instead, they insert in the headline the same amount he called a small loan from his father, referring to the $1 million that he got from his father, Fred, at the start of his business career. I mean, they take a shot no matter what he does. They find a way to turn it inside out and make a negative out of it, even a donation to help people in Hurricane Harvey. So the
I think it should be widely reported in our media. This is very generous of Donald Trump, and I'm impressed with this little insight I had. The challenge should be made to these other big liberals. Two big liberals. Why don't you match? I saw this on the internet, that French satirical magazine that we all supported when it was attacked by the terrorists, Charlie Hebdo. Now, Charlie Hebdo is not a nice publication. It regularly slams Christians with cartoons that are so vulgar, I'm not even sure I could describe them. Well, I could describe them, but probably not for family listening. But they recently had one. It's Houston, and it says something like God is good, and there's a flood, and the hands going down in the flood are all holding are all white and holding swastikas. Oh, ha 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 ha. You know, there are people who revel in the sufferings of white people. Of course, it's not just white people. Hispanics and blacks were suffering in Houston as well. But I think Donald Trump has really really shown by example. I think it would be a very good thing to challenge that fat big mouth Oprah Winfrey to slap a million shekels down. Let's see if they're prepared to help their fellow Americans.
Yes. Well, here's someone who really hates white people, Jesse Jackson. I'm just going to play this. Who knows what it's going to be? It's reported on Breitbart, so I'll trust their judgment. Here's Jesse Jackson, not somebody I normally would play here. Here he is.
Them. Congress must stand for new humane priorities. The Civil War was over. There were those who were willing to fight to stop secession, would not vote for the 13th Amendment to free the enslaved. In 63, there were those who were embarrassed by dogs biting marches in Birmingham, but were not willing to vote for a public accommodation bill. In 65, there were those who were embarrassed by the horses kicking in Selma, were not willing to vote for the Voting Rights Act. It's not enough to reject.
If you understood any of that, you're better than I am. Let's go to the end of it.
Hope
that in English?
Over hurt and hate. Yep. Courage over cowardice. Become one nation, one. Five and have a job skill.
Well, I'll tell you what. One reason I can't play this for you, folks, is I can't understand what Jesse Jackson is saying. He doesn't speak English. But the quote I was looking for is this. He's in Washington. He's giving what he calls a prayer there. That's what he calls a prayer. And in it, he says that Donald Trump would not qualify to get into Jesus's kingdom. That was So he says, here's his quote. Trump says, I'm not going to try to imitate Jesse Jackson, please. Trump says you must be able to speak the language English to be qualified and have a job skill. Jesus would not qualify to come in Trump's country. He would not qualify to get into Jesus. He would not qualify to get into Jesus's kingdom. So, okay, Jesse Jackson. And he was talking at one of these action organizations, Jackson Action Organization meetings, the National Action Network. And their motto, folks, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. which is something you hear from Antifa all the time. Let's see if we have any callers here. Let me check over on the board. 800-313-9443. Don't tell me that Paul, myself, and George are so eloquent that it's dimmed your desire to call. Please, if you've got a little gem of news in the last day or so, please call us and share it with us. We've got a little bit of time left in the show. As I began the show, in case you missed the beginning, something exciting coming up next week. Donald Trump will be visiting North Dakota, and that will be something. If I can actually get there, get in, as soon as we close the microphone here, I'm going to search online to see if anybody's taking reservations yet. Because when Trump comes to your town, and believe me, he is going everywhere. When he comes to your town, here's what you do. You've got to reserve tickets. They're free. You're allowed two tickets per email address. So what that will do, they will then email to that address two tickets, print them out. You will need those when you go to the Trump event. It's free, but you have to register. And so do that as soon as you can. And I think they're willing to give out more of those email tickets than they actually have seating for. And that's appropriate. That's the right thing to do. So, once you've got the ticket, well, it's first come, first serve to all those tens of thousands of people in a line extending miles to get into the event. That's how much people want to be in the presence of the greatest president in American history. And that's something, as I began the show, it's something that will, you know, it'll galvanize me. It'll make the hair stand up on my head to actually. I've seen Donald Trump once. I've heard him speak one time in 2011. Bill Johnson and I were sitting together at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, but we had no idea what a titan in our future Donald Trump would be. And boy, it'd be something. You know, my 6-year-old told me, "Daddy, I want to." Was talking about it with my wife. I said, "Well, maybe I'll go by myself." My 6-year-old said, "Daddy, I wanna see President Trump," because that's all he hears about it around our house. And my 12-year-old daughter also, she chimed in from upstairs. "I want to go too." So, I hope we can do this. George or Paul, any thoughts carrying over from yesterday's show? I had some callers, listeners to the show calling. They liked the show very much yesterday.
No, I was so intrigued. But when you read the words from Maryland, My Maryland, I used that on my show earlier tonight on White Resistance Radio. I read the it's moving. I mean, it just sends tingles up your spine. And there was a version by Tennessee Ernie Ford, and that was very good. I was scouring around to try to get a number of musical versions of it, but Tennessee Ernie had a tremendous voice and very easy to understand. You know, I mean, some people can hit high notes and so on singing, but their diction isn't all that great. Tennessee Ernie had a voice that was deep and clear as a bell, and people who want to hear a good version of Maryland, My Maryland. Google that, you know, YouTube, Tennessee Ernie Ford, Maryland, My Maryland. Wow, I'm still coming down from a high.
Yes, and, you know, I saw that yesterday when I was looking for it. Here it is. Let's play it just for a second. Here it comes, folks.
The despot's heel is on thy shore.
Maryland, my Maryland,
his torch is at thy temple door.
Maryland, my Maryland,
avenge the patriotic gore that flecked the streets of Baltimore. And be the battle queen of yore. Maryland, my Maryland.
Now, I think we should take a break here. Yeah. I love that diction. You're so right, Paul. Engineer, is it time for a break? Get the attention of the engineer. Yeah, I don't want to skip a break. Let's go back to Tennessee Ernie Ford. Heck with a break.
Thou wilt not cower in the dust, Maryland, my Maryland. Thy beaming sword shall never rust, Maryland. Trust. Remember Howard's warlike thrust,
and all thy slumberers with the just. Maryland, my Maryland.
Dear Mother Bird, the tyrant's chain.
Maryland, my Maryland.
Virginia should not call in vain.
Maryland.
She meets her sisters on the plain. Sick temper, 'tis the proud refrain that baffles minions back of Maine. Maryland, my Maryland.
Now, that was beautiful. That was the last verse there that you heard at the end. And, boy, that was beautiful, Paul. You're quite right. Tennessee Ernie Ford enunciates so clearly. That is beautiful.
If somebody sang that in a Baltimore public school, they'd be arrested.
Yes. And Tennessee Ernie Ford, born in 1919 in Bristol, Tennessee. I used to live very near there, Bristol, Tennessee. And, died in Reston, Virginia in 1991 at the age of 72. Folks as old as Paul and myself, we remember Tennessee Ernie Ford very well and remember his TV show that we watched as kids. And in that When America Was Great.
16 tons.
Yeah.
The
Shotgun Boogie.
Yeah. Yep, we're gonna run out of time here in just a bit. I'm wondering what the engineer wants to do here. We rolled right through one of his breaks. We apologize for that. And I'll tell you what, I love that appeal for funds that you hear from Mike Rivero. I don't think does he say this is Mike Rivero? I don't know. But you hear Mike Rivero in the show. Two shows before this one, Monday through Friday, Mike Rivero's got an incredible, very important show, one of the most important patriot shows in America. It always has been that way, wherever Mike's been, and you need to listen to that show. But Mike Rivero's appeal, when he says to you folks out there that you are one of the best informed audiences on earth, you are. And then he says, ask yourself, how much of that do I owe to this network? And then gauge your contribution accordingly. So that's really good advice from Mike Rivero. And if you like this show, as part of that, if you contribute to this show, you're contributing to RBN, because I take every penny you contribute and I pay for this show to RBN. So you can get two birds with one stone by contributing to James Kelso at P.O. Box 9, East Grand Forks, Minnesota, MN 56721. I will take your check, money order, as I say, rare Ming vase, gold coins, inverted Jenny postage stamps. I'll take anything, and I'll convert that into a check that I write to RBN to pay our bills here on this show. So, and those of you that have already helped this show, thank you very much. I just have to give you all a collective thank you. You know who you are. I wish I could enumerate you by name, but you are great folks, and you make this show possible. So thank you very much. Let's see. We're going to visit with everybody again Sunday. We skip Saturday, the only day we're not on the air. So Sunday, we'll be back with a three-hour program where we can go into more detail and depth, and so we'll see you then. This has been one of those rare
on Sunday, even though this is the Labor Day weekend.
I think the only time we're always on, I think maybe Christmas we skip, or one other holiday. No, we're we're hardy folk. We're on all the time. So yeah, we'll see everybody on Sunday, Paul. Thanks. See you next time.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.